Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell different. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play away. Welcome, everybody, to the Playmaker Podcast. We're live here. You've got your host, Gabe Larson. We're going to be talking about change and all things encompassing change, which unfortunately happens more often than we would like. But we're going to dive into that topic. And to do that, we've run on a friend. I mean, I feel like we kind of know each other. We've interacted multiple times here. And I was just bugging her. You know, we're time sensitive here, but I'm like shooting all these questions at her. We've got Kat Andruha. I think I said that right at the end. She is the director of global sales development at Aptys. Kat, thanks so much for joining. How the heck are you?
I am doing really well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. It's always great to do a podcast with a friend, which I feel Gabe and I are. We are customers at InsideSales.com, and we're happy customers of InsideSales.com. And it's just nice to shoot ideas off of each other together and not have to always work all day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, she is going to have to go back to work. I guess we both are. But with that said, I'd love to, for you, real quick, Kat, tell us just a little bit about yourself and what you do over there at Aptys.
Sure. So I started in Aptys almost 16 months ago now, and have gone through numerous changes here in the organization, all for the better as our company grows. Right. But it is an area that we have specialized in, which is fine. I've been in sales development, I want to say, for about 12 to 13 years, if you count my stint at working in finance as well, which I actually do just because I wasn't selling a SaaS product. Mm. I was just selling loans to people. So I still had to have my A game going, just a different product. And so I've gotten a lot of experience just selling different products to people. I love working at Aptys. I do like the change. I love the strategy here. I love the enterprise space. There's nothing like scoring a meeting with a big enterprise account.
Yeah.
Definitely exciting for me. But when I'm not working with my fabulous team, I am either hanging out with my two daughters or I love to vacation. We love to go up to Tahoe. We love to travel. Sometimes I like to travel without my kids, which is really most of the time. And then I'm an avid gardener. I don't know. Right? I do that a lot. I love to garden. I have probably 30 rose plants that were my grandmother's, and I love to garden pumpkins. So vegetables are great, but pumpkins are my specialty. And one year I had about 45.
Is that right? Do you do this? Do you do this? I mean, local to the Bay Area, or you like have some cabin in the mountain? I mean, just in your backyard? Yeah. Wow. 45 in a backyard.
Yeah, just in my backyard. So, I mean, it's fun. It's something to do when I guess when nobody's really looking and I actually have some time, and it's not something that you really have to worry about too much.
Yeah.
So I kind of plant them, water them, and let them grow on their own. It's a little bit different than at work.
I think you have to, unfortunately, if you're in a sales role and you're scrutinized as much as you are, I mean, in a company that's growing and talking about IPO and all this, you know, that type of stuff, it's probably nice to just go home sometime, pop in the backyard and just talk to the pumpkins, just hang with the pumpkins.
So
that's interesting. That's kind of outside of work. I always like to ask people, you know, obviously you've kind of done, you've been doing sales for a long time, sales development. You kind of own a lot in the space. I think a lot of people look to you for cool ideas. If you ran into a sales development person or, you know, some sales rep who's kind of looking to aspire and be a leader in an organization such as Aptys, any quick tips or advice you'd pass on as you've kind of navigated your career?
Yeah, absolutely. And I say this a lot on all of like the panels that I speak on. So it might seem repetitive if this is like the third time you've heard me speak, but you're never going to get anywhere if you don't ask. Mm. So nobody can read your mind. Yeah. I tell my BDRs all the time, yeah, I get that everybody wants to grow in their career. They don't want to be career BDRs, although there are some, and I think it's a fantastic role. But most people want to move up into sales. And you're not going to be able to move up into sales or into other departments within your organization unless you ask if they're hiring or ask if you can have a promotion.
Yeah.
That's literally how I got into my space and how I got into leadership. Was I asked an old boss of mine at Aruba Networks, and I said, hey, are you hiring team supervisors? And he said, yeah, I am. And I said, well, I want it. And he's like, well, you didn't ask me. And I said, well, I'm asking now. And I got it.
Wow. So interesting.
You just, yeah, you have to be on top of it. You are the only person that is going to guide your own career. Yeah. And the only way you're going to be able to get anywhere is if you ask.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, I mean, certainly you want more bosses who are good mentors and, you yeah. know, really care about your personal development. And we all want that, but unfortunately, it just doesn't happen very often. And so as much as you think your boss cares about your career, they probably care about their own career. So yeah. So you need to do the same thing. Not a knock on bosses, not a knock on me. You know, I've got a handful of direct reports and I try to, but you're right. No one should care more about your career than you. I love it. Love it. All right. So let's dive into this topic here. You and I were talking pre-show just about change in organizations. And sometimes, you know, companies take a step back. Companies, they take a step forward. Aptus is certainly, and probably some of your past experiences, you know, Aptus has grown like crazy. You got a lot of people, and sometimes that change has some good, and you know, sometimes it has bad. How do you if you take a step back when change starts to come, how can you make sure that you try to turn it into a positive, whether you are a leader or a rep?
That's a great question. So, in the moment when change is happening, everybody immediately turns to the negative.
Yeah,
you always think, oh my gosh, or you know, these AEs are no longer with the company. You know, what does that mean for me? Or, you know, this person left the company. I mean, I've had so many bosses leave and accept promotions, and they immediately turn to the negative.
Yeah.
And I've had to tell, because I work with a group of individuals that typically this is their first job, or maybe it's their second, and it's their second in a large company and they've never been at a large company before. You kind of have to take a step back and realize, all right, so if this person moves to a different organization, how does that directly affect my metrics that I need to hit every single day? Am I still going to be able to make phone calls every day? Probably. Do I still have a pipeline pulled up? Probably. Do I still have to have weekly one-on-one syncs with my boss? Probably. So I try to tell them, you know, if you stay focused on your desk and change is happening around you, if you're rising to the top and you're doing your job every single day, your numbers are going to be there. Your manager is going to see you as a steady, consistent performer. You're not even going to cross anyone's radar of being inflicted by the change, right? Yeah. But on top of that, if you're able to focus on change as positive and think of it as an outside world experience, you're going to be seen as far more mature than your counterparts. And everybody wants to promote mature individuals that can see a worldly view. And the way that I look at it is, if you have a boss that leaves, or you have an AE that leaves, and you have unfinished business, for example, say you're working on a couple deals,
rise
to the top, talk to your RVP, talk to your SVP or AVP, whoever helps run that patch, and say, hey, listen, I know that Mark is no longer here, but I know everything about this account. I know everything about this opportunity. I'd love the opportunity to make prospect convert to a customer. Give me that chance. That's you asking, and that's you taking this change and moving it into a positive experience for not only yourself, but for the organization.
My follow-up question is going to be, I mean, how do you coach people kind of through some of these changes? But you just kind of highlighted that, like, almost like this idea of speaking up you mentioned earlier, but rise to the top and kind of take the initiative and get something done. Is there some ways you've found, I mean, again, you've experienced it, I think, at Aptus before, and you've seen it at other companies.
Absolutely.
As this change happens, how do you make sure your team is not protected, but kind of manages through it? I love this idea of, hey, guys, seize the day and take the initiative. Is there some other things you've found just within your own team to get them to stay focused or get them to kind of keep on the path without feeling like the organization is crumbling or changing or around them?
Sure. I mean, I think you just have to talk to them a lot. I've been pulling people in for team huddles. We huddle up every single morning.
You do
morning. We do a quick 10 to 15 minute huddle. And that was a change in our culture here because they never used to do that. And there was some moaning and groaning around that when I first started and we started doing it. But now I think it's what they use every single day to really find out what's going on. And I'm pretty open and transparent, maybe a little bit too much with my team, but I always let them know, hey, like, this is the meeting that I'm happy. This is the meeting that I'm going into today. This is what I want to prep for. This is how I want everyone to see the organization. And just to let them know that, hey, I've got your back. Yeah. Are things always going to go our way? No, but I'm letting you know what I'm doing to show you that I've got your back. Now I do that. But then I also, during these team huddles, is I essentially let them know, hey, listen, like, yeah, there's going to be change. I can't tell you what's happening sometimes, but just know if you're hitting your numbers, you're at your desk, you're not gossiping about this, you're not, you know, blowing this into out of proportion, you're going to be just fine. You don't want to make a name for yourself by being negative. You want to be seen as that positive person.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like you kind of hit on this idea of communication? I think when change is happening, this is one of the things that there's just this always fine line. Like, there's certain stuff maybe you should tell to the team. There's certain stuff maybe you shouldn't tell to the team, but you don't want them to feel like you're not being transparent. You don't want the organization to seem like it's not transparent. How do you manage kind of just the communication aspect? I mean, you seem like a pretty open book. Do you kind of err sometimes on telling people kind of more like, hey, this is what's coming and let's be ready for it? Or do you try to hold it close to your chest? Or what's kind of the way to manage communication, both maybe top down and bottom up?
I mean, I try to align myself with all areas of the business, right? I'm very close with my sales operations department. I'm very close with all of my RVPs. I do my biweekly syncs. I try to be in front of the C-suite as much as possible. Sometimes I probably insert myself into meetings that I shouldn't be a part of.
What's she doing here again?
Yeah, exactly. I really align myself with my marketing operations team with data, and I want to make sure I have the right data in front of me. And so I encourage the BDRs all the time. I'm like, don't just stay in our own department. Get out and see what the rest of the business is doing, because not only is it opening up your eyes to other opportunities, it's opening up your eyes to how the wheel actually spins in this organization and how, let's say, sales operations plays an integral role in sales strategy, in data, in managing our CRM. I try to open up their eyes to that and encourage them to speak with other departments. Now, if they listen to me, great. Most of the time they don't. But I do have those BDRs that join every single competitive call, that go to every single new hire boot camp. Let me tell you, their name is always the name that comes off, you know, the C-suite's tongue, that's like, hey, that BDR is killing it.
Interesting. Just because they're kind of visible. They're around.
They're visible. They've made themselves visible. And, you know, correlating that back to change, when change does happen, they think to themselves, all right, well, this person's an asset because I see that they're a part of every aspect of the sales cycle or every aspect of the business, and they know different areas. We could just plug them in over here.
Interesting. Yeah, they're kind of like a multifaceted. They got different things they can do well. Do you feel like, I mean, you certainly seem like someone who is aware of some of the changes that, you know, are going to go on probably strategically, you know, whether it's at Aptus or somewhere else.
Yeah.
And maybe that's due to personality, but sometimes I feel like you know, depending on your level, certainly you are kind of left out in the dark. And that does make it maybe sometimes hard for you because maybe your boss isn't very good at communicating, but you seem like someone who's decent at managing up and is aware of some of the things that are happening in an organization, which helps you then kind of manage down and manage some of your, you know, your team, et cetera. If someone's not getting that, if someone's kind of like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm a director level, I'm not necessarily sitting with the CEO every day, but, and my boss isn't giving, I'm feeling like I'm in the dark. How do you manage, any thoughts on managing up so that you can be part of, maybe not part of the conversation, but certainly aware of some of the changes that are coming so that you can, again, better prepare and protect and work with your team as you try to be successful in given roles?
Yeah, I think it's really important for in any organization, big, small, medium, that when you are aligning to those influencers, those people of change, that they know that no matter what that change is, that you have their back.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could change the sales strategy one day anywhere that I work and say, you know, we're only going to call people that have, you know, the director level title. That's it. We're not going to call the C-suite. We're only going to sell to them. And even though in my head, I may think to myself initially, like, what, why? Like, what's the, that doesn't make any sense to me. Instead of taking that stance, it's asking questions. Oh, okay. So where have you seen this done before? You obviously have experience in this. Please share some information with me so that I can learn.
Okay.
And then once you get that information from them, that's when it's easier to pass it down to your team.
Yeah.
Say, hey, listen, you know, Mark has done this at other organizations and he was able to get more meetings out of it. And we're going to give it a shot because it's clearly worked before. That's when it's easier for BDR to understand.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that. I like that. Do you feel like one of the things that's come up, and we've kind of polled our audience here, so I'm going to switch gears just a tiny bit as we kind of look to start wrapping, but the one of the change items that has come back in feedback is some of these organizations who listen to this podcast are looking at changing the way they go to market with their sales structure. And certainly the sales development comes up often as just a talk track. And we're kind of in January, and depending on your fiscal year, we're February. It's February now.
We're almost halfway to March.
As you can see, I've been doing some other stuff, but you know, oftentimes beginning of the year, and if you're on the Salesforce calendar, you know, a lot of people are kind of rethinking territories and structures and comps and things like that. If you just took a step back and said, hey, you know, companies thinking about changing and introducing a sales development team, is there a reason to have it? Is there a right place to have it? Why do you feel like it is a necessity or not a necessity? Any quick comments kind of just on, you know, companies looking to change their structure and specifically adding in kind of this role to help facilitate more pipe?
So I think it's really important that you insert a sales development team when the company is ready for it.
Yeah.
Meaning you can't just have two BDRs calling into accounts if you don't have the right sales team up and running, which means, yeah, if it's a startup, your AEs are going to be your sales development reps for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
I mean, cost-wise, but also getting their feet wet and actually building a pipeline and building a data set of success.
Yeah.
You don't know where you're going to be successful until you actually start booking, you know, companies and customers. Yeah. I mean, that's sometimes you do. I'm just saying, like, I'm just giving an example.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And then once you see that success, you can replicate the success and you're able to hire in BDRs. And then, you know, as the company grows, that's when you really start seeing the change. All right. Well, we're going to go from a $10 million company to we want to hit $250 million.
Right.
Well, that's rapid growth. And that's when you see a lot of companies inserting a ton of sales development. They're just getting the brand out there. They're booking as many meetings as possible. It's more of, you know, booking pipeline quick, fast, and getting fast wins. And then that's when from 250 million to, we'll say, a billion is when you see, all right, now it's time to get strategic, because we don't want to just use the BDRs for booking any line of business. We've hired strategic AEs on. Right. We don't want to waste their time. So we want to make sure that the BDRs that are on are, number one, experienced, that are calling and outbounding into these accounts. We want to make sure that these BDRs are able to carry a conversation further down the cycle and not just meeting set. So I think as companies change, the BDR organization has to be malleable and be able to provide the right type of pipeline and the right type of opportunities as your sales org changes. And that sometimes is a tough
Crack. Yeah. Do you feel like, I mean, certainly one element of change and is just people coming and going. And certainly in your, you know, in this kind of prospecting role, turnover is just more rampant. And inside sales in general, it's a little more rampant. And there's different reasons for that, certainly. But how do you minimize that impact or that change? I mean, it, you know, it seems like you guys have been able to build a decent culture.
I'm sorry, you cut out there just slightly. So how do I minimize the impact of change on the
PRs? Well, I mean, if people are coming if people are coming and going very often, how do you get people to stick around and kind of keep that culture of, hey, there's a path here, there's longevity, et cetera?
So that's, I think, probably the toughest message for me to pass along. I'm not good at lying to people. I don't know. I'm an honest person. I like to make sure that people understand what they're getting into. I do my very, very best to let the teams know, hey, listen, right now, this is our growth pattern. Right? Whatever pattern it's in, you got to let them know this is the growth pattern and it's going to be a grind. Like, that's what I always tell them. I'm like, this is going to be a grind. We're trying to reach a certain revenue amount right now and it's going to be hard and you're going to have to operate at 150%. When you hit that point at that peak of that mountain where whatever happens, happens. So every organization has a monumental peak that they're trying to hit first. Right. It might be, you know, you're getting your Series A, your B, your C. Some companies are trying to IPO. Some companies are trying to get acquired, right?
Right.
So whatever that peak is, you hit that peak. Yes, you got there. That should be your first step, that you're part of the organization that gets your company there. So I always try to tell the BDRs, you know, in my instance, whatever company I'm at, like, hey, we're working towards this point. And this point, if we hit it because of all of your hard work, that's going to be huge for your resume. You're going to be able to walk into any organization and say, I helped this company grow from $250 million to $1 billion. And this is how I did it. Now, and then after that, like, people get, you know, oh, you get acquired. Oh, you hit IPO. The work's not over. You still got to, like, keep working towards, after that IPO, you still have to, you know, share your earnings with the world, essentially. So you got to keep your numbers up. And so that's when I see that there's really potential for growth for a BDR. So while there might not be a ton of growth while you're working hard to get to that peak, the next step is really where you can see yourself shine and say, all right, I got here. Now, as we're expanding this team to keep our numbers up, where do I fit in? And this is why I fit in here. And I want to go work in this department.
I love that. I mean, I think sometimes people do go for the quick win, but it is cool to be able to say you're part of something. You know, like you said, we achieved this type of milestone and I was part of that team. And let me talk to you about how we kind of did that and strategically initiated that. And sometimes we, especially in sales, people come and go and they're not able to really tell that story because that, you know, they weren't able to stick around for the milestone. I like that kind of carrot and the stick. Well, Kat, as much as I'd love to keep taking time from your busy day, I know you've got a huge team to run, so I'm going to let you get back. I know we're a little over time, but I want, and I've got 1,000 more, but I'll spare it for when I see you in person. If someone wants to get in touch with you or learn a little more about Aptus, what's kind of the best way to do that?
You know, I would just hit me up on LinkedIn. Just Catherine Andruja at LinkedIn there. You'll search for my profile. I've got my pretty picture up there where I've actually did my makeup and my hair. So I typically don't ever look like that unless I'm going to a wedding or something. That's the best place to reach me.
That's awesome.
It's my personal email, and I always answer pretty quickly.
I love it. I love it. Well, again, thanks so much for joining. And for the audience, remember, success is just one play away.